Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 8 minutes after midnight here on the WGN Radio Theater, a shortened version of our three-hour show. We'll be here for 2 hours this morning. This is program 238 in the series. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa? How
hey,
are you?
Carl, we're so sorry for the 2 hours, but it's going to be 2 great hours tonight.
Yes,
so
it will be.
We'll make up for it with our wit, personality, and radio shows.
You mean nitwit. I'm your nitwit.
No, wit, personality, and radio shows.
Speaking of wit, I have some holiday jokes for us.
So, oh, are they witty? Are they witty jokes?
Yeah. I'm gonna give a couple out. I'm sure Roger will appreciate my humor.
Oh, he always does. Yes.
We have Shante Garth, our producer, in the booth. And over the next 2 hours, we're going to tune in to the Jack Benny Christmas Show from 1947. Some last-minute Christmas shopping. And then we're going to skip the Saint, and we will tune into Fibber, McGee, and Molly from 1942, a show called Misplaces the Christmas Money, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Dum, 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 dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming film Old Man and the Gun, about an elderly bank robber who now lives in a retirement community but looks to spice things up with another heist.
Oh, okay. Sounds like a fun movie. Yeah.
The winner is going to get 2 tickets to see The Christmas Schooner, which is playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago.
Very nice. 2 tickets for that?
Yep.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. You can call right now. And here's a hint. This actress was the star of Carrie.
I didn't see him, Mama!
All right. Who is that actress? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it one more time.
Oh, just go to...
I didn't see him, Mama!
There it is. We're going to talk to Rick. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good tonight.
Good. You know who that actress is?
I do. Sissy Spacek.
You are right. Sissy Spacek is the right answer, and we are so happy to give you 2 tickets to see The Christmas Schooner. I don't know if you've ever seen it before. It's fantastic. It's a musical. It's playing right now at the Mercury Theater through December 31st. Of course, it's a holiday classic, and you can get tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com, but I hope you have somebody special to bring with you there.
I do.
Good. Well, enjoy it. Take care.
Hey, Rick.
All right, thank you.
Hey, Rick, I got a joke for you, a holiday joke. You ready? Sitting down? Okay.
Yes, I am.
Why was Santa's little helper feeling depressed? Because he had low elf esteem.
That's good. I like it.
You can use it. You don't have to pay me a royalty, anything, Rick.
You are so much nicer
yours,
than I am,
public
Rick.
Domain for you, buddy.
He's way nicer than I am.
Enjoy the tickets, okay?
I will. Thanks,
take care.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Right.
And we appreciate all of our listeners staying up late with us, listening to classic radio shows. And yes, I do have more jokes.
Oh, I bet you do.
More holiday jokes throughout the night.
I cannot wait.
For our listeners.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
But first, we have a
I can wait.
Roger. I was going to say Roger has arrived, and Roger is wearing green.
Ah, yes,
I can just see the little green.
He looks
in the
like
box.
A little elf up there, doesn't he? In the green?
No, he does not.
Can he's you like see a... my little, you can't see the little flashing Hanukkah pin?
No, I do not.
Wow.
I'll hold on a second.
Come closer to the camera.
All right, very good.
Oh.
All right, we have to get into our Jack Benny program.
I know.
All right, otherwise you're going to be way late. All right, Jack Benny, one of the greatest, most beloved American entertainers of the 20th century. He grew up right here, Lisa. He was born in Chicago, grew up in Waukegan, Illinois. And he became, I guess, probably the most famous comedian of the golden age of radio and TV.
And now, of course, there's a Jack Benny Performing Arts Center in Waukegan
That's
to honor
right.
him.
That's right. Absolutely. And we have an episode of Jack Benny Christmas Show. He actually takes Mary doing some last-minute Christmas shopping. This is from December 21st, 1947, part one of the Jack Benny Program.
The Jack Benny Program.
Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, there are only three more shopping days till Christmas. So let's pick up Jack and Rochester on their way down to do their last-minute Christmas shopping.
Rochester, how far is it from my house to downtown?
About 7 miles, boss.
Oh, fine. We ought to be there about noon.
Yeah, it's a good thing we started last night.
Yeah. Gee, there sure is a lot of traffic this time of year, and I have so much to do. I better check over this list. Clark Gable, a half a dozen shirts. Barbara Stanwyck, 1 dozen initial handkerchiefs. Gary Cooper, 2 pair of silk pajamas. Claudette Colbert, lace negligee. Rochester, I hope we can deliver these things by tomorrow.
Yeah, you promised them they'd have their laundry back before Christmas.
We may have to work nights. Oh, well, let's not worry about that now. Donna, we'll never get downtown at this rate. So slow riding behind the trolley.
You want me to cast off and hook onto a bus?
No, I can't stand those fumes. You know, Rochester, Christmas is a lot different now than it was years ago. I remember one Christmas Eve when I was a kid. The ground was covered with snow, and as I looked out the window, in the distance I could see someone dressed in red. Suddenly there came a patter of hoofbeats and a knock on the door, and the door flew open, and a man said,
"The British are coming."
He did not. He said, "Merry Christmas." It was Santa Claus. Then he came into the house and gave my cousin Cliff a sled, my sister Florence a doll, and Rochester, you'll never guess what Santa Claus gave me.
What?
A violin.
That sweet old man did that.
Rochester, don't be... there's the store. We better start looking for a place to park. Here's the place. Slow down while I see what it says on the sign. This parking lot reserved for the patrons of the Paddock Swimming Pool Company. 1 hour free parking with each $6,000 purchase. Gee, it's a shame we've already have a swimming pool. Oh, look, here's another free parking lot. Let me see. This lot reserved for the patrons of Dr. Whiteside, the friendly dentist. 1 hour free parking with each tooth pulled. Rochester.
I went last time. It's your turn now.
Well, never mind. Let me out and you find a place to park the car. I got to meet Miss Livingston.
Okay.
Gee, there's certainly a lot of people downtown today.
Jack, oh, Jack.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Jack, I've been waiting for 15 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. We got held up in traffic. Let's go in the store. Mary, you have my Christmas list, haven't you?
Yes, here it is.
What does it say?
It says, "Dear Jackie boy, I couldn't meet you last night because a customer spilled a chocolate soda all over my uniform. So I..."
The list is on the other side. Give it to me.
Wait a minute, Jack. Who's Josephine?
The little blonde car hop at Simon's Drive-In. She used to work at the Glendale branch, but they promoted her to Beverly Hills. Gee, I hope that chocolate soda incident doesn't send her back to Glendale. You know, she's very pretty, Mary. The Drive-In uses her pictures in all their newspaper ads.
Oh, yes, I remember. She was Miss Cheeseburger of 1946.
Yeah, she'd have made it this year, too, but her mustard was on crooked. Just goes to show you. Fate. A little thing like that, huh? Let me see that list, Mary.
Here you are.
Gee, I still have to buy a present for my old girlfriend, Gladys Abisko. I don't know what to get her. You think she'd like a lipstick?
I don't know. She got lips.
Yes. Oh, stop being so catty. I know what. I'll just send her some flowers. Now, come on, before I do any shopping, I want to open a charge account. There's the credit department over there.
Now, Mr. Benny, I think we have all the personal information we need. Now, would you tell us something about your financial qualifications? What are your assets?
Well, I own my own home, my own car. I have 3 paid-up insurance policies. I have a radio program, and I own some stocks and bonds.
I see. Now, what are your liabilities?
My liabilities?
The horn blows at midnight.
Mary.
The horn blows at midnight. Oh, yes, that was a picture.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. Benny, in what bank do you keep your money?
The Bank of America, California Bank, Security Trust Company, Farmers and Merchants Bank, Mercantile Trust Company, Security Savings Bank, First National Bank of New York, Pittsburgh Trust Company, National Bank of Commerce.
Can I help you, young man?
Help me?
Yes, yes, you've been standing in front of this counter for 10 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm confused.
Well, that's understandable. You're confused because it's Christmas time. You've got the Christmas spirit. You're doing your Christmas shopping and you're looking at so many different things.
Well, that explains why I'm confused in December, but what about the other months?
Well, I wouldn't know. I'm just standing behind this counter because in a moment of enthusiasm, I sold my pants.
Oh, well, I'd like to get something for my parents.
Oh, your mother and father, eh?
Yeah, how did you know?
Oh, I just figured it out.
Gee whiz, I don't know what to get for my mother.
You know, young man, looking at you, I can just picture your mother.
You can?
Yeah, small, petite, gentle. A kindly smile for everyone. And spends most of the time sitting in a rocking chair knitting.
That's my father. Now try and guess my mother. Oh, boy, she sure makes him toe the mark.
You mean your father's afraid of your mother?
Oh, everybody's afraid of my mother. When I was born, the stork left me a block away from the house.
What?
It's a good thing I knew the address. Gee, I wish I knew what to buy my mother for a Christmas present. Oh, I know. I'll get her one of these. What size is this one?
38.
No, that'll be a little too small. What size is this one here?
That's a 44.
That's fine. Put some bullets in it and wrap it up.
Yes, sir.
Send it to Mrs. Patricia Day and put a card in it saying, "With all my love, Dennis."
Yes, sir, I'll do that immediately.
First National Bank, Bank of Manhattan, Sacramento Savings and Trust, San Francisco Bank Exchange, and the Benny Trust Company of Waukegan.
Well, well, you certainly keep your money in a lot of different places.
Yes.
He's also got a St. Bernard with a coin slot in the brandy barrel.
That's in case I get lost, isn't it?
Well, Mr. Benny, as far as your credit is concerned, that's all the information we need.
Thank you. Now, come on, Mary. Let's get my shopping started. Let me see that list again. There's Don, Rochester. I know what to get Dennis. He told me what he wants. And it's such a silly thing.
What does he want?
A bulletproof vest. Say, Mary, what would be a good thing for a 9-year-old boy? I want to get something for little Stevie Kent.
Stevie Kent? Isn't he the little boy who tackled you in the football game and sprained your ankle?
Uh-huh.
And you're buying him a present?
Mary, it was an accident. He didn't mean to do it.
Then why are you suing him?
I'm not suing him. I dropped the case after he paid the doctor bill. Now, come on, let's try to...
Benny, Mr. Jack Benny, please report to the credit department.
Oh, darn it, what do they want now?
Pardon me, miss. Would you mind waiting on me, please?
Why, yes, sir. What can I do for you all?
Well, honey, child... You're the same little gal waiting on me last year. You from Alabama, ain't you?
I sure I am. Are you all from the South?
Am I all from the South? Honey, when I was born, the doctor held me up on my feet and slapped me with a candied yam.
Well, call my pope and mint my julep if it ain't little old Phil Harris.
That's me, baby. They purchased Louisiana because I was in it.
I don't doubt it for a minute. Now, what would you like to buy?
Well, I don't know.
How would y'all like to see something nice in lingerie?
Now, honey, you know you shouldn't throw me a line like that.
Gee, Mr. Harris, you're so cute.
Yeah, everybody notices it.
You know, Mr. Harris, you're so much different than I pictured you to be. On the radio, you're such a braggart. You sound so conceited.
That ain't nothing. Wait till I go on television.
Are you all going to go on television?
Honey, when a man is as good-looking as I am, television ain't a luxury. It's a necessity. Now, let me see. Let me see. I'm wondering, honey, what I can get for my wife. Oh, I'll tell you what. Hey, give me one of them negligees there.
Why, yes, sir. Shall I wrap it as a gift?
Yeah, and fix the package up so she can't peek into it. Seal it over with some of that scotch and soda tape.
I'll have it wrapped up for you in two shakes of a possum's tail. Wait right here, Mr. Harris.
That's the first portion of the Jack Benny program from December 21st, 1947. Last-minute Christmas shopping. And we're playing holiday and Christmas programs all throughout December, the entire month of December. Hope you enjoy that. And I'll have some holiday jokes for you as well, Lisa.
Oh, yes. I'm waiting for that.
We had a couple of texts in saying that they like my corny humor.
We had one.
Yeah, well, we had two. I had one, too. Hey, so real quick, I want to remind all of our listeners we have a text in line, so please text in. We don't want Lisa to fall asleep while these shows are playing.
No, you know, no. She... Yeah, if I don't get texts, I just start snoring
in my
chair.
She loves getting your texts. It's 312-981-7200.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger Badish. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night, usually from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m., usually 6 hours on the air, but we had a little Hawks coverage. And they bumped an hour of our show. So we're here from midnight till 2 a.m. this morning. But tomorrow we'll be on full 3 hours, right, Lisa?
We will all be here.
All right. So check out our Facebook page.
Yep.
Just go to Facebook and search WGN Radio Theater. Please like us when you're there. We'd love to build our likes. And there's great pictures that we post there. And so Jack Benny pictures up?
Yep, sure is.
All right, we are not going to play The Saint tonight. I'll try to play it at some point, but we have Fibber McGee and Molly in our next hour. But right now, it is the conclusion to last-minute Christmas shopping on the Jack Benny program.
Say, mister, there was a call that I report back here to the credit department.
Oh, yes, Mr. Benny. The store has checked your financial standing, and we're happy to say that the papers are all ready for the loan.
Loan? I don't want to get a loan.
No, we do.
Well, how much...
Jack, come on. You came here to do your Christmas shopping.
Oh, yes, yes. You better call me at home, mister. Come on, Mary. I might as well buy the flowers for Gladys Abisco first.
Okay.
Hiya, Jack.
Huh? Oh, hello.
Long time no see.
That's right. Come on, Mary.
Jack, who was that?
Oh, he's that racetrack tout who used to hang around Santa Anita. What a guy. Come on, let's get away from him, huh?
Oh, wait a minute, Jack. I want to stop the lingerie counter. I like this shade, miss. I'll take this pair of two-thread hose.
You're wrong, lady. This hose is 3 threads.
Oh, no, it's 2 thread.
I beg your pardon, but it's 3 threads.
Listen, sister, don't argue with me. Not so long ago, I was standing right where you are.
That's telling her, Mary.
I don't know why I'm so fresh. She's making more money than I am.
Only during the holiday season. Anyway, Mary, you don't have to buy stockings. I was going to give you a pair for Christmas.
I'll buy my own. I wore the stockings you gave me last year, and everybody thought I was a nurse.
Well, how do I know the kind you want? Now, come with me while I get the flowers.
Hello, Mr. Benny. I see the Yule time is catching up with you.
Oh, hello, Mr. Kitzel. Hello, are you doing your Christmas shopping?
Ho, ho, ho. Look at these armloaded bundles. The things I am buying.
Now, what's in that long, thin package?
This is a present I'm sending to my brother-in-law. It's a hacksaw.
A hacksaw?
If he gets it in time, he'll be home for Christmas.
Mr. Kitzel, your brother-in-law is a prisoner?
No, he's the warden.
Well, if he's the warden, why does he want a hacksaw?
He was playing truth or consequences with the prisoners, and he lost.
Oh.
Say, Mr. Kitzel, what are you getting your wife for Christmas?
I got it already here in this box. It's a beautiful fur coat.
Well, that's nice. What is it, a fox or sable?
On the label, it's sable. In the box, it's fox.
Well, don't you know what you bought? I mean, didn't you ask the salesman?
For $29, I should start an argument.
Well, maybe you're right. She'll probably like it anyway. Well, goodbye, Mr. Kitzel.
Merry Yuletide, Mr. Benny.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Merry Christmas. Say, Mary, while you're waiting for your stockings, I'm going over and pick out some flowers for Gladys. Gee, all these flowers are so beautiful. I think I'll get these roses. Yeah, they're the nicest.
Hey, Jack. Jack.
Uh-huh?
What you doing?
I'm buying flowers.
What kind?
I'm buying roses.
Uh-uh.
What?
Take the carnations.
But look, I don't want carnations. I want roses.
Come here a minute.
Huh?
Don't be a jake. The roses are $1 a piece. That's even money.
I know.
The same don't want carnations will get you 6-1.
Six to one?
Don't take my weight for it. Here it is in the seed catalog.
Look, mister.
I'll show you. Now, let's see. Poppies, gladiolas, chrysanthemums, poison ivy. Oh, that's been scratched. violets, daisies, roses. Yeah, here it is, roses. Blooms early, fades in the finish.
Well, look, and I don't care what it says. I'm still going to buy the roses.
Okay. It's your money.
I wish that guy would leave me alone. For God's sake. Oh, miss! Miss!
Now, let me see. I have my rifle, cartridges, my rod and reel and hooks.
Yes, sir. Now, is there anything else you need?
Oh, yes, yes. A tent.
Very well. How about this one over here?
Well, that looks good.
Shall I have it delivered?
No, just put sleeves on it. I'll wear it home.
Oh, Don.
Well, hello, Jack. Hello. Doing your last-minute shopping?
Yeah, I was just going over to the perfume counter to get a present for my sister, Florence.
Well, Jack, before you go, I want to show you something I bought you in the toy department. I gave you something like this last year, but you broke it. Remember?
Oh, yeah, but Don, that was last year. I'm too old for toys.
But, Jack, this is so novel. Now, just look at it. A set of toy wooden soldiers.
Now, that's not for me. Believe me.
Well, now, just watch what happens when I wind them up.
Now, people are watching. Don, you can show it to me at home.
Here it goes.
Jack, I've been looking for you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mary. I stopped to talk to Don Wilson. Oh, say, Mary, don't let me forget to buy something for Fred Allen.
Fred Allen?
Yeah. I don't know what to get him. He has nothing. Oh, I'll buy something for my sister first. Here's the perfume counter. Pardon me, sir. I'd like to buy some perfume.
Okay, mister. What kind of perfume would you like?
what's popular right now?
Well, here's something that's not too strong yet leaves a trail of broken hearts.
Oh.
It's called Avec Trey Je T'aime Beaucoup, My Cherie Trey Bean.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I didn't take French when I was at Harvard.
Oh, well, anyway, I don't think I'd like that. What else have you got?
Well, here's some other perfume called Essence of a Locker Room.
No, I don't want. Say, here's a perfume that looks nice. How much is that?
68 cents a gallon.
68 cents a gallon? What do you think, Mary?
The same as you. The price is right.
I didn't mean that.
If you want something cheaper, here's some perfume for only 25 cents.
25 cents? What kind of a bottle does that come in?
That don't come in no bottle. We keep it on tap.
On tap?
When I draw it fast, you ought to see the head on it.
Well, never mind. I'll get something else.
By the way, mister, how come they put a fellow like you behind the perfume counter?
Oh, my regular job is in a delicatessen department slicing Limburger cheese.
Limburger cheese?
Yeah, once a month they send me here to neutralize me.
Well, you must have just come up. Come on, Mary, let's go. Mary, let's go to another counter and see.
Oh, look. There's Rochester buying some cufflinks.
Oh, yeah. I wonder who they're for. Let's sneak up behind him and listen.
I think these are beautiful. They're very unusual.
Yeah, but I don't think my boss would like them. They ain't his style.
I see. What type of man is your boss?
Well, he's medium tall, medium weight, and rather conservative.
By conservative, you mean he's parsimonious?
Parsimonious? What's that?
Frugal.
What's frugal?
Thrifty.
You're headed in the right direction, but you've got a long way to go.
If I had those cufflinks already, I'd fire him.
Quiet. I want to hear this.
Now, let's see. Maybe he'd like something else. Why don't you buy him a nice wallet?
He ain't got no use for a wallet.
Where does he keep his money?
California Bank, Bank of America, Security First National Bank, and a Philco Deep Freeze.
A Philco deep freeze.
Mr. Benny likes some of his money in cold cash.
Rochester.
Oh, hello, boss. I didn't see you.
I know you didn't, but if you're going to buy me a Christmas present, buy it. Don't discuss my personal affairs.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Mary, let's go. Oh, say, Mary, there's one thing I still have to get.
What's that?
A present for Don Wilson. I can get it right over here at this counter. Oh, clerk.
Yes, sir.
I was thinking of getting...
Say, your face looks familiar. Didn't I wait on you last year?
Yes, I believe you did. I was thinking of getting...
Now I remember. You bought a pair of shoelaces, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Now, I was thinking of getting...
You couldn't make up your mind whether to get plastic tips or metal tips.
That's right.
Jack, let's get out of here.
Wait, Mary, I have to buy Don's present. Mister, do you happen to have...
I remember how you kept coming back. First you'd get plastic tips, then you'd change to metal tips. Plastic tips, metal tips.
It was a hard decision to make, you see. Now, mister, I'd like to get...
Metal tips, plastic tips, metal tips.
Jack, get out quick.
Wait a minute.
And you came back again and again and again and again.
Mister.
All the other clerks went home, but I had to stay.
Look, mister.
But you're not going to do it to me this year.
Jack.
Plastic tips, metal tips, plastic tips, metal tips. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out.
But, mister.
Plastic tips. Jingle all the way! Everybody else has one, but here I have to stay!
Come on, Mary, let's go.
Plastic dip, metal dip, jingle all the way!
Ladies and gentlemen, since this is our Christmas show, we feel that it is fitting to close with a medley of Christmas carols sung by Dennis Day.
Oh.
town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The first Noel, the angel did say, was to seven good shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, Noel, Noel.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That is the Jack Benny program. Great Christmas show from December 21st, 1947, starring Jack Benny and all his gang. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater. Oh, if I could just have a voice like Bill Curtis.
Oh, a lot of people say that.
He's got the pipes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why he makes the big bucks around here.
Listen, what did you say?
Learn, laugh.
Listen, learn, laugh.
Yeah, you sound exactly like Bill.
Maybe I could do
it. You could be a Bill impersonator.
Maybe I could be the signature voice.
No, I think
WGN.
You should. Yeah, if you could. We're going to have to talk to the powers that be about that.
Probably not.
Look, Roger made it upstairs.
He's taller than
floor.
Me. He's better looking. And he has a much deeper voice.
Thank you very much.
No comment.
Hey, Roger.
Hi.
What kind of bike?
Is it live or is it memorized?
This is live, okay. Not memorized. What kind of bike does Santa ride?
Oh.
Any idea?
He's got a, well, that's the wagon. It's the Red Flyer.
No, it's a Harley Davidson.
Oh, that's not good.
What do you mean that's not good?
That's not good.
All right. It's just let me try another one on you then. All right.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Give me a second.
Can I just tell you what I was watching right before I came to the show?
What were you watching right before you came to the show, Lisa?
I was watching Elf. It was on TV on like Freeform or something.
One of the funniest movies ever.
I know. Dan kept saying this is so stupid. I'm like, I love this movie.
Stupid.
I was just mesmerized watching it every single time. I just can't take my eyes off
him. You know, he just plays that character with such conviction, right?
I know. I had
to believe that he believes he's an elf.
I know. And his dad, the whole thing, Dad. Oh, it was so good.
Hey, Roger, what does Mrs. Claus say to Santa when she looked up in the sky? Looks like rain, dear. Huh? Are you loving this or what, Roger?
Roger and I are loving this, right, Roger?
I'm so overwhelmed. I am so
overwhelmed. We're laughing inside.
Words escape me.
You know, by the end of the holiday...
can't come too soon.
By the end of the year, I'm telling you, the owners of Zanies are going to offer me my
Zanies?
Own. They're going to offer me my own stand-up gig. I'm telling you.
Out the back by the garbage cans.
I can, you know, Lisa knows I have a way of making these things happen, right, Lisa?
Sometimes he does.
I have a power.
He has all sorts of special powers. They're in his brain.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And when I think
about
it.
Kind of like sugar plums.
Yeah.
Dancing, right? Okay.
It's sugar plums dancing in my head. Yeah. When I think about it and really, like, meditate on it a lot, it happens. A lot of times, right, Lisa?
Right, Carl.
You know I'm not joking around with this.
No, I know.
I'm serious about this.
I know. It's so true.
You know? And I want my own...
How do you think we got here to WGN?
Right.
Yeah.
Positive mental attitude. I'm a little bit mental,
part of it,
that's
anyways.
For sure.
That's part of it.
The mental part, for sure.
Oh, you're mental, all right.
You know? So, but here's the thing, Roger. If I think long and hard about...
You'll get a headache.
Yeah,
what?
Oh. If I think really...
He doesn't think that hard.
If I think really, really hard about... The Zanies owners hearing me and saying, look, Carl could be up there for about 20 minutes and just go one after the other after the other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'd need a teleprompter, though. I couldn't memorize. I'm not good at memorizing.
No, read them off your notes.
No,
you know what you do? Oh, you know what you do? Do a Ray Rayner.
Yeah,
pin them to your jumpsuit.
Yeah, pin them to my... Right.
You look good in a jumpsuit. I can picture it now.
Could you?
Yeah.
It's not a pretty picture, is
no,
it?
No, it's not.
It's not a pretty picture. All right. Enough of the hang. All right. In our next hour, your favorite, Roger, Fibber McGee and Molly.
I love Fibber.
Yeah, 1942. I like the earlier ones because Hal Perry is on them as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Although I'm not sure if he's on this one because, I'll tell you in a minute.
What year is this episode?
1942. Right. Let me see if he's on it.
No, he's not, unfortunately.
But it's a good Christmas show from 1942. Yeah. That's coming up.
Wait, is this the Christmas tree one?
No, it's He Misplaces Christmas Money.
Ooh,
very funny episode. Okay. Jim and Mary and Jordan, of course.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, we're back. This is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater, a shortened program on this edition, program 238 in the series. Lisa Wolf to my right. And you know what, Lisa? All Christmas shows throughout December, that's what we have for our listeners. And then, of course, January comes, and we'll have a New Year's show. And then what's after that? Valentine's. We generally do a Valentine's show. And then
because you're very romantic.
Then Mother's Day. Yeah, very romantic.
I know. Well, we've got spring.
And then Father's Day.
Mother's Day, Father's Day, all sorts of good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
Your birthday.
What nationality is Santa Claus? Any idea, Roger? Do you know?
I'm not walking into this one.
Do you know what nationality Santa Claus is?
No, Carl. What nationality is Santa Claus?
North Pole-ish. I'm telling you, I can feel the laughter out there. I can feel the Zanies contract. I can feel the Zanies contract. I think my phone's
going
to ring.
Not all you feel. Right?
My phone is going to ring. It's going to be the Zanies owners.
You know, if you're going to think big, why don't you, like, go to Broadway with
How about Saturday Night Live?
There you go.
What about
that's
that, Roger?
Where you want to be.
Saturday Night Live.
The exhibit's open tomorrow.
The exhibit. that's on my bucket list, too.
There you go.
Remember I said on my bucket list is to be on Howard Stern? Also on my bucket list is SNL.
She wants to be on SNL.
I do. Yeah. That's a dream.
Let's make that happen, Lisa.
Can you?
Yeah, let's make it happen.
I would pay you.
All right, in this hour, Fibber, McGee, and Molly, you don't want to miss it, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming film Widows, about four women with a debt left behind by their dead husband's criminal activities.
Ooh, what do they win?
They are going to win two tickets to see The Christmas Schooner at Mercury Theater Chicago.
All right, here is a hint. This actor is heard here.
If you're looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
He's got a set of skills. He can get you on Saturday Night.
Oh, you have a set of skills.
He's got power.
You've got skills,
you
all right.
Yes, I do. 312-981-7200 is the number to call and win some tickets to see The Christmas Schooner
at Mercury Theater.
Yep. Call us right now. We'll be right back.
We are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
If you're looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money, but what I do have... A particular set of skills.
Carl doesn't have money either, and he has a particular set of skills. So you're kind of like the same person.
Yeah.
Hey, Terry.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling in. Who is that actor? Carl's just like him.
That is Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson is exactly right. And I'm so happy to give you two tickets to see The Christmas Schooner. It's a musical, and it's playing right now at the Mercury Theater through December 31st. It's a holiday classic. I don't know if you've seen it. I've seen it there multiple times. It's really good. The family who helps spread the Christmas spirit with the Christmas tree
ship. Well, don't give it away. Terry's going to go see it, right, Terry?
I'm not giving anything away.
Yes, I am. I'm so excited.
Who are you taking, Terry, to see it?
You?
I'll probably ask my daughter to go with me.
Oh, how nice.
How old is she?
She is 42.
Oh, how nice. You guys are going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, have a great time. You guys can get more information about the show and tickets for those who don't have tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com. Thanks so much, Terry. I hope that you enjoyed the show. Let us know, okay?
Oh, I do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye, Terry. All right, she's a big winner. So our listeners, because it's Fibber, McGee, and Molly time, Lisa. Oh, gosh, I love these two. Jim and Mary and Jordan, they're actually married in real life, unlike us. People think we're married because we have a radio show together.
No, they think we're married because we're good together on the air.
We are best buddies, Lisa and I. We've been buddies, best buddies since 2009.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
But we're not married.
No, we're not that kind of buddies.
Lisa's married to my attorney.
Well, he wasn't your attorney.
I know, but he has become my attorney.
Yeah, we're buddies, but not that kind of buddies.
No, we're not.
Different kind of buddies.
We're not bosom buddies.
Exactly. Right. We're radio buddies.
We're best buddies, but we're not married. A lot of people think we are, though, because...
There are plenty of married couples that...
On the radio, yeah.
Are on the radio and on TV and whatnot.
I mean, Lisa...
And even on the radio.
Yeah. I mean, you know, listen, you know what, Lisa?
But, Carl...
You got a good guy there. And Dan, I tell
I know,
you what.
You just dream about it.
Dan is the best. He's the best. He's the best
he's
lawyer,
sleeping
too.
He's now, so he won't hear you.
No, he is. All right. What's the name of his firm again? Wolf, Bernstein, and something?
It's Schwartz, Wolf, and Bernstein.
Schwartz, Wolf, and Bernstein.
And they
are great lawyers.
In Buffalo Grove.
Great lawyers.
Let me know if you need some help.
All right. Are you ready for Fibber, McGee, and Molly?
Always.
Let's go back to a broadcast date of December 15th, 1942. Misplaced Christmas Money, Part 1 of Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber, McGee, and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber, McGee, and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with O.G.O. Joy.
Thank you.
Last week on this program, I mentioned something that caused a good deal of comment. I said, a waxed house is a clean house, and a clean house is a sanitary, healthful one. Do you remember? Well, it seems that quite a few people have not fully realized that when they wax their floors, furniture, and woodwork regularly with genuine Johnson's wax, they are actually doing a good deal more than protecting and beautifying those surfaces. Yes, they're making their homes healthier as well as pleasanter places to live in. You see, the wax seals a surface against dirt and moisture. Dust and dirt do not adhere easily to a wax-polished area. So regular waxing removes many of the sources of germs. And besides, it's so much easier to clean waxed floors, baseboards, and furniture. Especially in these times, let Johnson's paste, liquid, or cream wax help keep your home sanitary and beautiful. About this time of the, quote, happy, unquote, Yuletide season, every husband begins to get that cornered rat look about his eyes. But the squire of 79 Wistful Vista looks even more desperate than that. Something is definitely perturbing our hero. For further details, we join Fibber McGee and Molly.
And furthermore, I'm the dumbest, short-sightedest, dim-wittedest, stumble-bummedest, empty-headedest, feather-brainedest droop that ever didn't know enough to come in out of a tornado.
Well, just as you say.
If my head was small enough to fit my brains, I'd be getting telegrams from Ripley.
Well, I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Say, Washington's home at Mount Vernon has got a beautiful big stoop, but you got a bigger and a beautifuler stoop, and I don't mean anybody but me.
Ah, you just say that.
I got got the IQ of a microbe. I think when I die, I'll leave my skull to the Smithsonian for a doorknob.
How charming.
As dumb as I am, it's a wonder to me I ever got out of the third grade.
It's a wonder to me you ever got in.
You ain't whistling Dixie there either, sister. I think I'll give myself back to the Indians. I'm the biggest numbskull that ever...
All right, McGee, I'll admit you're a fascinating subject, but what's this all about?
It's about me, that's what it's all about. I'm the stupidest...
All right. For the sake of argument, let's say you're completely brainless.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'll find it sooner or later.
Find what?
That $15. I was saving it for your Christmas present. I hid it last summer, so I wouldn't be tempted to spend it, and now I can't find it. If that don't make me the weak-minded scum...
Now, stop pacing up and down. Ours is a beautiful union, and it doesn't need any pickets.
Pickets are still laying there. And I'm getting desperate. Only 8 more shopping days before Christmas, and I've looked every place.
Calm yourself. What man can hide, man can find.
Yeah.
Where do you usually hide your extra money?
I don't usually have any extra money. When I did, I used to put it in the sugar bowl.
Did you look there?
Yes, but I'm using it now to keep stuff more valuable than money.
Why?
Sugar.
Did you go through all your old clothes?
Yeah, but it wouldn't be there. I distinctly remember tucking it away in some safe place. Ah, let me see. Where could... Hey, hand me that blue vase on the mantel.
Oh, this one here?
Yeah. Oh, no, it ain't here. This is where I've been keeping my cellophane collection. Sure got a mess of it, haven't I?
What are you saving cellophane for?
I don't know. I guess I just got tired of collecting cigar bands. String. Seemed to be more future in cellophane. Doggone it, this makes me sore.
Was it in $5 bills, dearie?
It was a 10 and a 5 in a white envelope. And I wrote on the outside of it, do not touch until 10 days before Christmas, and this means me.
Well, I'm a pretty good housekeeper, if I do say so myself, and I haven't seen anything of it.
Well, if the worst comes to worst, I'll get an internal revenue collector in here. Them guys could find money in a caraway seed. Now, let me think a minute. If I could just remember...
Come in. Abigail Uppington. Hello, darling.
Oh, how do you do, my dear? And Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppy. Where's your Santa Claus costume? Or aren't you christening the Kringle today?
I don't go on duty till 4 o'clock, Mr. McGee. But what, may I ask, is the matter with you?
What do you mean, Abigail?
Well, look at him, my dear. He looks positively haggard. I only hope the government doesn't catch him with those Chevrolet tires under his eyes.
I ain't been sleeping good, Uppy. I got pernicious insomnia. I'm worried.
Yes, he hid $15 for Christmas shopping, Abigail. Now he can't find it. For 3 days now, he's been prowling around the house like a mouse after a cat.
You mean a cat after a mouse?
In this house, anything can happen.
I had a case like that once.
Uppy, you sound Aussier than Nelson. What happened with you?
Oh, I was simply frantic because I thought I'd mislaid a ruby and emerald bracelet. But the solution was so simple, it was ridiculous.
Well, what was the solution? Maybe it'll give McGee an idea.
I suddenly realized I had never had a ruby and emerald bracelet. Oh, wasn't that silly?
And I thought I was dumb. Buffy, you're as giddy as a steeplejack full of applejack.
I was at that time, Mr. McGee. You see, I was just a girl out of finishing school and madly in love with a handsome young lieutenant.
Oh, sure. Well, there was something awfully romantic about those Civil War uniforms, Abigail.
Yes, indeed, they certainly were. I beg your pardon, Mr. McGee.
Don't mention it, Abigail. But what girls' school did you go to?
Ward Belmont, my dear, in Nashville, Tennessee. Oh, I can close my eyes now and smell the magnolias on the campus.
That's my hair, Uppy. I just come from the barber shop.
It is Magnolia. It's Jockey Club.
Well, do remind me, my dear, sometime to show you the pictures of my class. I was captain of the croquet team, you know.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, call me Virginia and watch me reel. So you all were the captain of the croquet team, was you, honey child?
Now, please, Mr. McGee. I have only the most charming memories of the South, and I found Southern men were always most gentlemanly.
Well, I guess that'll dim your northern lights, McGee.
That must account for my good manners, Uppy. My grandfather wore the Southern uniform, you know.
Oh, really?
Sure. He was a conductor on the Chattanooga Choo Choo Act. What was it you wanted to see me about?
Oh, I just wanted to tell you about the most marvelous fortune teller.
Fortune teller? Blah. Those bargain basement gypsies couldn't foretell the future of a blue eyed blonde with the fleet in.
Oh.
Ah, fun my clavicle. Dark man going across your path, going to take a long journey, going to get a letter. You'll find your diamond ring under the... Hey, maybe she can tell me where my $15 is. Come on, what are we waiting for? Get your hat, Molly. Where is this fortune teller,
Uppy? It's upstairs, okay.
Never mind, I'll find it. Come on, Molly. We'll see you later, Uppy. Why didn't I think of this before? Oh, boy, that $15 is as good as found. Right now. Why, those people are wonderful. I know of a case where a guy lost a bass drum once... Get a load of this reception room, Molly. Boy, what a dump.
Well, this was your idea, not mine.
Why do fortune tellers always live in joints like this? If they can see into the future, why don't they make a killing at the races and live in a classy apartment?
Well, maybe they can't get a crystal ball big enough to see a horse in.
Well, this one sure ought to know her onions. She's cooked enough of them around here.
Don't be so critical. You know, Madam X ought to be calling us in any time now. You know, we've been waiting here 25 minutes.
Madam X. Probably an old gypsy named McGillicuddy. Not that I care what her name is, if she can slap herself into a trance and find my $15.
You know, we'd have saved time if we just consulted Uncle Dennis.
Ah, what does he know about fortune telling?
Well, I don't know, but he certainly lives in an atmosphere of departed spirits. You know, last night I came into the hall and I found him balancing himself on the banister.
Yeah? What'd he say?
He said, niece, your escalator has run down.
At it again, huh? I gave him a lecture about that just the other day.
What'd he do?
He just sat tight.
Mr. McGee, I will see you now, please.
Oh, thank you, madam. Come on, dearie. We'll see what fate has in store for you. If fate still has a store, which I doubt with things being so hard to get.
Oh, I'm ready, sis. Hop onto your broomstick.
This way, please.
Oh, Simpsons.
I think I preferred the onions. Hey, can't we have a little light in here, sis?
No. The darkness, she is desirable for proper contact with the forces of the unknown. Oh. Sit down, please.
Oh, thank you. Wow. You see, the reason we came, Madam X, is because...
Do not tell me. I will tell you. Your husband is in trouble, no?
My husband is in trouble, yes.
Hey, how'd you know, sis? Can you read my mind?
Yes. It is very simple.
Huh? You know, that's what he's been telling himself all day, madam.
How do we go about this now, sis? Do you read the stars, feel the bumps on my head, look at my palm, or do we just sit around and strain our eyes at each other?
No. For $5, I will answer 3 questions.
$5? Isn't that a little expensive?
Yes. Now you have 2 more questions.
Well, we better not waste any time, Molly. Here's a question, sis. Where's the $15 I was saving for my wife's Christmas present?
It is right where you are putting it. Now you have 1 more question.
Heavenly days. We're not making much progress, are we?
No. Now for another $5, I will answer 3 more questions.
Oh, you don't, sis. Come on, Molly. I ain't going to pay her $10 to find 15. Here, sis, here's your $5.
Thank you. You must come again and see Madame X when you are troubled with business, law, or marriage.
Who, us? Do we look that silly? Do you think we like to be gypped?
That is 3 more questions. I will answer the first one by
come
saying...
Come on, Molly, come on.
Well, my goodness, McGee. We didn't get much satisfaction in there, did we?
Well, yes. She at least says that dough is still where I put it. That's some comfort. Well, come on, let's go home and see...
Well, hello there, folks. Say, have you been consulting Madame X?
Yes, if you call it that, Mr. Wilcox.
The way that dame clips you, she ought to be a barber in a boot camp. You going to consult her, Junior?
Sure. I was in here last week for advice.
About what?
Oh, business. I asked her how the future of Johnson's Wax stacked up. She said it had a very bright and sparkling future.
Oh.
She said that in times like these, when conservation was so important, more housewives than ever would preserve and protect their floors with Johnson's Wax.
And what was the second question, my fellow chump?
Well, then I asked her which of the Johnson Wax features I should emphasize, and she said health. Because Johnson's Wax seals the surface against dust and dirt and dampness and gives the housewife so much extra rest and leisure.
Oh, and the third question?
That's where I made my mistake. I asked her if my pipe bothered her.
And she said yes and soaked you another fin. Boy, what a racket.
Say, why on earth are you coming back, Mr. Wilcox, if you knew you'd been cheated?
I want to ask her if she took my watch.
Mr. Wilcox, I will see you now.
I'll say you will, baby. So long, folks.
What?
Well, let's get on home, McGee. We'll turn the house inside out when we find that $15.
And believe me, the next time I hide something, I'm going to hide it in plain sight. This will teach me a lesson. If I wasn't such a sap-headed, beetle-brained, lop-eared, low-browed, withering...
That's the first portion of Fibber, McGee and Molly from December 15th, 1942. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Hey, Roger. Hey, Rog.
Yeah, Carl.
You know, when I get my gig at Zanies, and I'm doing my half hour or something like that.
Your little stand-up there?
I'm going to bring Lisa along. She's going to warm up the audience before I do my jokes. So
is she going to put blankets on them?
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to test her out here. She has a holiday joke.
Oh, okay.
I have a joke. Okay, so, Roger, this is for you. Okay. All right, Roger.
Yes?
Why is Santa so jolly?
Gosh, Lisa, I don't know. Why is Santa so jolly?
Because he knows where all the naughty girls live.
That's pretty good, right?
See, it comes from you, it sounds okay. If it came from,
if I did it.
If you did it, we'd have to call HR.
Oh, my gosh.
That's funny.
All right, we're listening.
I got more.
She's got more.
Oh, boy.
She's on a roll now. Look out.
Tonight.
Actually, that was a good one, Lisa.
Thanks, Carl.
I like that. Wow.
That's because it came from
very
me.
Very good. Very good. All right, it's time for the conclusion to Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
The Quietest tricks I ever heard of anybody.
Well, now that we're home, where'd we better start, McGee?
Oh, I don't know. I remember putting it in a place where I could lay hands on it at a minute's notice.
You say the $15 was in a white envelope?
Yes.
Well, that shouldn't be so hard to find. Would you put it behind one of the pictures?
No, I looked behind all the pictures this morning. I turned Whistler's mother around so many times she almost fell out of her chair.
Say, maybe you put it under a rug. No, I've had them up too many times. I'd have seen it.
Oh, why can't I remember? I must have a skull full of rice pudding. I'm the biggest drip this side of Niagara Falls. The only thing that keeps my ears apart is my big fat mouth.
Oh. No, McGee. Anybody can forget things.
Nobody can forget them as easy as me. It's exasperating. I'm getting so I'm afraid to shake hands for fear I'll walk off without my arm. Here, I thought I was a pretty bright guy, and I couldn't pass the intelligence test of a Mongolian basket weaver.
Oh,
why of all
now,
the dirty...
for goodness sakes, if you'd stop scolding yourself for a few minutes, maybe we could get something done.
Well, my gosh, well...
Now, listen, here's what we better do. I'll start with the upstairs and go through every room, and you look around down here, and between us, we ought to cover every inch of this house.
Okay, but I...
Now, stop your arguing. Anyway, you're not as dumb as you claim. You're really pretty smart.
I am?
Yes.
Oh.
Or you wouldn't have hidden that $15 from yourself. Why, when it comes to money, and I hope we do...
Come in.
Oh, hello there, Mr. Oldtimer.
Hello, daughter. Hello, Johnny. I just stopped in to say goodbye. Goodbye.
Hey, Oldtimer, come back here.
What's the matter, kid?
You can't yell goodbye at us and then rush away like that. Where are you going and for how long?
Yeah, and when will you be back and for how long?
Going to Chicago, kids. Gonna be gone for an indefinite period.
Oh, what do you mean, indefinite period?
I mean, I won't be back till the afternoon of January 5th. But whether 3 o'clock or 3:15 is indefinite.
Fly?
Hey!
Fly!
Oh, well, I'll hold still and you swat him, Johnny.
No, my husband means, are you going to fly to Chicago or take the train?
Ain't decided, daughter. Thought maybe I'd get up early in the morning, throw the saddle on old Betsy, leap on her back and ride her all the way to Shy.
Well, that's a long trip for a horse.
Who's a horse?
Why, isn't Betsy?
No, Betsy's my bicycle. On the other hand, kids, I'll likely take the steam cars. I love trains. Used to be a railroad man in my younger days.
What'd you do on the railroad?
What do you mean, what did I do, Johnny? I had my own.
You mean you owned a railroad?
Sure did, daughter. 18 cars, 2 engines, and 72 foot of track. Run from the dining room through the front hall, back to the kitchen, around into the dining room again. Stopped at the umbrella stand, the piano stool, the refrigerator, and the cook, exception Mondays, which was cook's day off, at the piano stool on signal only. But I had a bad wreck in 1889 when Papa come home late one night, tripped over the coal car.
Oh, tough luck.
Yes. Now I never see an engine with a tender behind without thinking of what Papa did to me that night. Well, so long, kids. Merry Christmas.
The Kingsmen sing, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas.
And may all your Christmas
glasses be wide. And all year through, may every wish you make for Christmas.
Confess, I'm about ready to give up. You certainly hit that $15 well.
Yes, and I could kick myself around the block for it, too. If I'm not the silliest...
Yes, we've been all over that. Are you sure you had $15 in the first place?
Sure, I'm sure. A 10 and a 5. And they were earmarked for your Christmas present, too.
They were what?
Earmarked. That's what the government does with money, so that's what I do.
How?
Well, I put ink all over my ears and pressed both bills against them. I think the theory is that no two people have ears alike. You know, like fingerprints, only easier to see.
Well, that must keep Mr. Morgenthau pretty busy.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Now, listen, let's just sit down here and reconstruct what you did when you hid the money. What did you do first?
Well, first I got me an envelope.
Come in.
Whose car is that out in front?
The black one? Well, that's a kind of a combination ownership, bud. Me and the finance company.
You have an ace sticker on the windshield. Do you do any pleasure driving?
Take him for a ride around the block, McGee. That'll answer that question. In that car, sir, you get more pleasure walking.
And I don't quite understand
Let me see your draft registration card, please.
Okay, here you are, bud. I'm not only a little overage, but I got a lot of collateral dependents. I got collateral at the First National, the Morris Plan, the building in Long...
Never mind. How much coffee have you got?
Oh, well, about a half a pound.
Sugar?
No, thanks, just cream.
Now, look here, bud. I don't mind answering questions.
McGee, this is war.
Yes. Sure, we read about it in the papers, but what...
I only have a few more questions, then I'm through. Have you been buying war bonds?
Bud, we've been buying war bonds till we're red, white, and blue in the face. And I've licked the back of so many war-saving stamps, everything I eat tastes like glue. Now, if you don't mind...
I hope you're not complaining.
Certainly we complain. Everybody complains, and it doesn't mean a thing. And now, if you'll please explain
why... McGee, I see you have cuffs on those trousers. Did you buy that suit after restrictions were put on clothing?
No, I didn't. And while I don't like to be personal, bud, there are still a few people who need a cuff on the pants. So will you please tell us just who you...
Just one more thing. The government doesn't want you to buy anything you don't need. They're trying to keep prices at a reasonable level, encourage buying bonds and paying off debts. We want this country to be on a sound financial footing after this war is over. Now, remember that.
Just what is your connection with the government?
Oh, my goodness, I forgot to introduce myself. I'm Mr. Tolliver. I just moved into the brick house down the street.
Oh, I'm glad to know you, Tolliver. This is my wife, Mom.
How do you do, I'm sure. Just what department of the government are you in, Mr. Tolliver?
Oh, I'm not in the government, Mrs. McGee. I run the hamburger wagon down there at 14th and Oak. And I must say we serve the finest...
Well, dad, Braddock, what right do you got to come busting in here and asking all them silly questions?
Well, I think when a man moves into a new neighborhood, he naturally wants to know all about his neighbors. Certainly is nice to have met you folks. Good night.
Brassy, nervy people I ever met.
He tells me I'm going to have trouble with that mug. He's going to get in my hair, and there ain't enough room in it for anybody but me. A self-appointed cop.
Oh, never mind, McGee. Let's concentrate on finding your $15. Now, what did you do after you got the envelope?
Well, now, let me think. I put the money in the envelope and sealed it.
Yes?
Then I started looking for a hiding place.
Yes?
First, I thought I'd hide it in the hall closet. And then I says to myself, no, I says, I'm going to clean out that closet one of these days. So I takes the envelope.
Oh, for goodness sakes, come in.
Hello, Mrs. McGee.
Hello, Mr. McGee.
Oh, Mr. Wimp.
Hi, Wimp, old man. Why the suitcase? You running away from home again?
Oh, no, Mr. McGee. I'm going to Chicago on a business trip for about 3 weeks.
Oh? Is your wife going with you, Mr. Wimple?
No, she isn't, Mrs. McGee. I'm going to be terribly lonesome without her, too. Ouch.
What's the matter?
I was crossing my fingers so hard I almost broke them.
Well, what kind of a business trip is this, Mr. Wimple?
I'm going to see my publishers, Mrs. McGee. The ones who publish all my poetry.
Oh.
They sent me a telegram saying they wanted to see me.
Gee, they must think a lot of you, Wimp.
Yes. They wanted to publish my picture. And I sent them some, and they wired right back. We don't believe it. Come in person. Wasn't that nice?
So you won't be here for Christmas, Mr. Wimple?
No, but Sweetie Face gave me my Christmas present before I left. Look, a check for $25.
Say, that's great, Wimp.
Isn't it, though? Mm. She says if I'm a good boy all year, that next Christmas she'll sign it.
She might even throw in the blotter.
Why, that old saber tooth. I thought of a swell gift I'd like to send her, Wimp, but I hate to ask anybody to deliver it.
Oh, I'd be very happy to take it over, Mr. McGee.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. It might explode before you got there.
Not if you timed it right to the second.
What did you give your wife for Christmas, Mr. Wimple?
A great big bottle of cologne, Mrs. McGee, to be opened on Christmas morning.
Cologne, eh? What kind, Wimp?
I mixed it up myself, Mr. McGee. Mostly carbolic acid.
Oh! Why, Mr. Wimple, that's liable to take the skin right off her face.
Yeah. Yes. Merry Christmas.
Three weeks away from that gunner's mate of his, and Wimp will be a new man.
Poor little fella.
I'll be a poor little fella myself if I don't find that $15. If I wasn't such a numbskull, such a hopeless dope in a blue ribbon...
Oh, stop it now. Huh? Let's take up where we left off. Okay. After you decided against hiding it in the closet, what'd you do?
Doggone it, that's what I can't remember. All I know is I put it someplace where I'd remember it just before Christmas.
Well, I'm sorry, McGee. I can't imagine where in the Dickens you...
Dickens! That's it. Now I remember. Here it is, right here in this book.
What book?
Dickens' Christmas Carol.
Whatever made you hide your money in that?
Safest place in the world. Nobody ever opens that book till Christmas time. That was a kind of a clever stunt at that, hiding this $15 in Dickens' Christmas Carol. Maybe I ain't such a fool after all.
No, you really have some bright moments, McGee.
Yeah, I guess I do at that. Well, all's well that ends well. Here, you keep the $15 for me. I gotta throw this envelope in the wastebasket.
Well, this isn't $15. This is the envelope.
Huh? Oh, my gosh, I tore up the money.
What?
Oh, if I ain't the worst muddle-headed. More than ever should have had $15 in the first place. I'm the dumbest, dilliest, dim-wittedest... Oh. Good night.
Good night, all.
The characters of the old-timer and Wallace Wimple heard on our program were played by Bill Thompson. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson Wax Finishes for the home and industry, inviting you all to join us again next Tuesday night. Good night. This program reached you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That is Fibber, McGee and Molly, December 15th, 1942. Misplaced Christmas money. Jim and Marion Jordan, sponsored by Johnson's Wax, as heard on NBC. All right, we're going to take a break in a minute. But first, Lisa, what is Santa's favorite singer?
Oh.
Elvis Presley. Yeah, see?